Welcome to Pop Life, the pop culture podcast for the curious mind, exploring the why behind the what. I'm Joe Lee. You probably recognize film and television actress Regan Pasternak from her roles in shows like Wynonna Earp, Private Eyes, and Masters of Sex. What you might not know is that she now adds author to her many credits. In her debut book titled Griffin's Heart, Pasternak shares her personal experiences mourning her pet cat Griffin while also leading us through healing exercises. Regan was gracious enough to share this part of her personal journey with us on this episode of Pop Life.
Digital content on WAER is made possible thanks to California Closets, located in DeWitt. California Closets can help you get organized for the new year with custom storage solutions for the closet, home office, kitchen pantry, and more. Online at californiaclosets.com.
If you've ever lost a pet, you know just how traumatic a family experience it can be. Regan searched for resources to help her cope with the loss of Griffin, but couldn't find much specifically dealing with the loss of a pet. So she wrote Griffin's Heart as a way to heal and help others heal from the loss of furry family members. Regan Pasternak, welcome to Pop Life. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So you are a accomplished actress, a singer, and now writer. You found time to squeeze in a book. And I say squeeze in, but this was actually very necessary for you. Tell us about the book Griffin's Heart.
Well, I have to say, when you say squeeze in the time, it took me over 10 years to write the book.
Wow.
So, I definitely squeezed in time over a long period of time. So I started writing Griffin's Heart. I had lost I always call him my soulmate animal. His name was Griffin. And he just meant the world to me. And the loss of him just left me super isolated. And I tried really hard to find books or resources of any kind to kind of help me through the pain, because it lingered. It just wasn't really going anywhere. And I couldn't really find a good resource for me. I couldn't find a resource that was encompassed everything that I was thinking that I needed. So I started writing about it. I just started writing about my experience, and it just kept evolving into what it really means to mourn the loss of a pet and how society really perceives that. And then it ultimately turned into more than a book. It's a book, but it's also a journal, and it ends up actually being a keepsake.
Yeah. Well, so do you think the trouble that you ran into in terms of finding resources that could help you, is that because we just don't look at the loss of a pet the same way that we look at, the loss of a family member in terms of the mourning process and the loss? Is that why there was a lack of, in your opinion, a lack of material out there?
I think you're exactly right. And actually, there's a chapter in the book, but it's a psychological term called disenfranchised grief. And disenfranchised grief can be a divorce, grief from your divorce, grief from the loss of somebody you didn't know that well. And in that category, in the dictionary of psychology, it's also pet loss. Mm-hmm. And I started finding out that so many people were feeling the exact same way as I was. And so even though it is this disenfranchised grief, it is so common. It's so common. Mm-hmm. So many people, are just completely wrecked after they lose their animal.
Help us get connected to Griffin. Okay. Tell us about Griffin and why you found Griffin to be such a special companion.
Well, okay, that's an interesting question, because there's so much je ne sais quoi, but when you talk about why you love anybody or anything, it's so hard to explain why you love a certain animal, because sometimes there's just a soul connection. But what I've kind of discovered, he was just a wonderful little, he was a Devon Rex. So he's one of those weird cats that barely has any fur, and he had these huge ears, and he was so smart. It was scary. He would go on a leash like a dog. He would sit and give paw, and he was just hilarious and sweet and funny. But, you know, writing about grief and actually learning about grief and even human grief, you know, even when you're mourning a human being, which, you know, I've learned a lot about lately too. It's not even about, it's about that person or that animal, in this case, obviously animal. But with Griffin, it was also, what did he represent to me? And that was the best part about writing the book, because I really did, you know, you go through your own like self therapy almost, you know, you're like your own therapist almost for me while I was writing the book. And hopefully the reader will feel like that too, because they participate in the book. But, Griffin brought out in me, you know, he gave me unconditional love. And he gave me unconditional acceptance. And then you kind of start exploring, why did I need that? Why did I need that so much? And why, what did it mean when I lost that? You know, what did I have to do to make sure I was okay? Because I felt like I'd lost this big gift that he'd kind of given me. And you kind of go through, like for Griffin, it was, you know, he died at 7.5, which is young. And, but those 7.5 years, he saw me through breakups. He saw me through, you know, amazing things that happened in my life. He saw me through sad things that happened in my life. And so you have this little silent witness, because that's the thing with animals. They're, you know, they're, mm-hmm. because they're nonverbal, it's so innate, or it's so intuitive, your relationship with them. And it's so special because of that, because, you know, you're not fighting. You're never getting an argument about politics with an animal. And so for me, it was just as much what an amazing creature he was, but it was also what he represented to me and that time of my life and what I needed during that time of my life. And then what it meant to all of a sudden have that taken away from me, you know? So yeah, I that's a long answer, but it's grief is complicated, and yes. That is what I'm learning. It's a complicated thing. So
yeah, the book is titled Griffin's Heart. Griffin had a heart issue. You also write about the need, not just because of the loss of Griffin, but other things that were going on in your life that led to some insomnia that you went to visit and get some professional help. And your doctor made an interesting analogy with the heart as it related to your situation. And Griffin, tell us a little bit about that.
You know what? Every time I talk about this part of the book, I end up getting emotional. So, and it's very embarrassing. So apologies if that happens. But yeah, so this, finally I went to see, after Griffin died, a bunch of other things were going on at the same time. I ended up not being able to sleep. And it was kind of like a snowball effect. So I couldn't sleep. And then I had to start having anxiety because I was so tired. And then I went to see finally a doctor to get sleeping pills, because I was like, I got to sleep. This is getting crazy. And I thought she was just going to give me a prescription. I was going to be on my way, but she was just this really wonderful person, actually. And she wasn't going to let me just say, oh, I want pills. Give me the prescription on my way. She sat me down and we talked through stuff. And it was funny because I was saying, oh, you know, there's family stuff going on and my work stuff is going on. And then I said, and also I lost my cat, and I started crying. See, I still start crying even just remembering that. And she started asking me more and more about my cat, which nobody was really asking me about, or, you know, I didn't even want to talk about it with anybody because I thought it was going to be looked at as silly or something. And she kind of figured out that was maybe the biggest, that if I could figure that out, that grief out, that maybe the rest of it would solve itself. And if I felt like I was allowed to feel those things, that maybe those things could solve themselves. And although she was an actual psychiatrist, so she was a medical doctor, She said something to me. She said, it's interesting that he died of a sick heart, because, you know, in some cultures, in some religions, people believe an animal will take on the burden of their owner, of their person. And it's interesting that Griffin died of a sick heart when, you know, you've had quite a bit of heartbreak in your life, because I had to relay some of my childhood and things like that had happened. It was just, I remember just being completely stunned and mesmerized by what she was saying. And it really, it felt so healing. It really did. Mm-hmm. You know, it would hate to sound LA, but it really did feel that way. It just felt healing when she said that, because I just thought, somebody is listening to me. Somebody is taking me seriously and actually giving me almost like a poetic, beautiful mm-hmm. explanation that felt so good.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was a very poignant piece of writing and conversation. You know, I gravitated to that passage. Very meaningful. Reagan, what is it that non-pet people or even some pet people don't really get about mourning the loss of a pet?
You know, it's funny. My very best girlfriend is not an animal person, you know, and she was one of the first people to read it before it was out, the book. And she said, this makes me love animals more. And she said, this makes me, she said, I felt like I could read this about her own grief that she's gone through. Her father passed away when we were both pretty young. And she said, I felt like it, and that's kind of the point. It's that not every animal is going to hit you the same way. And not every person who dies is going to hit you the same way. It's all different. It's all individual. It's all valid. And honestly, there's some people who aren't going to get it. And I had to kind of accept that too. And you kind of just have to protect yourself around somebody who might see something, you know, offensive to you when you're in that grief. Because if you're feeling it, then it's real. You know, that's the point. If you are in grief, it doesn't matter what, if it's for a bird or your aunt or whoever. If you're feeling grief, you know that. And then it's real, and you kind of need to tend to it and give it some space.
Yeah. You know, I think non-pet people don't realize how much a part of your family a pet can become. And
I agree.
We lost our little boy, our little Yorkie, this past year from a heart situation. And what breaks us up mostly is the fact that we weren't there. So my wife and I took a little drive trip, left him home with my daughter, and then this happened. And so she was heartbroken. We were helpless that we couldn't do anything. And you know, it's just the memories are still, it's still very fresh. And, you know, your iPhone won't let you forget, you know, as the pictures rotate on your screen from memories, videos are popping up of him, pictures are popping up of him. And it was like losing one of my kids. You know, we had two dogs. Two boy dogs, because I have two. I'm a guy in a house full of women, you know. So
I love it.
So I needed some male companionship. So we have.
So you got male Yorkie.
So I got a male Yorkie, and I got a male, Norwich Terrier, and they were like brothers.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah, and one of the things that we were concerned about in the immediate aftermath was how this would impact our surviving dog. You know, who seemed to be depressed for a little while. So you just have these feelings and concerns, and it's not an inanimate object or a thing. You know, they're really a part of your life. The thing that I appreciate about your book in that it really helps people to work through this. Now you section it out into three parts: to lose an animal, active remembering, and saying goodbye. And I like you, as you mentioned, you have spaces where people can journal and write thoughts and memories. There are places where they can put pictures so that it does become a little bit of a keepsake and a great gift for someone who you love who has recently lost a pet. So it's a really good resource.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
And I love that it's designed to assist people with that grieving process. Have readers shared with you, any of your readers shared with you how the book has helped them or how they've used the book?
So the book has just come out, but yes, it's starting to come in. I'm starting to get the most, and it's more fulfilling than I could have ever imagined. You kind of forget this part that you're going to be getting to hear that you're actually helping people, you know, deal with something. So, you know, that I understand so well. I mean, I've been through it, so that's why I understand it so well. And that has been so unbelievably rewarding. And it's funny when you just said, you know, your cell phone is going to always be there to remind you, even if you're trying to forget. And what I figured out, I actually lost my mom last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I figured it out, in that way as well, that you can't forget. That's you might trick yourself into thinking you forget, but then I believe pain, emotional pain, just gets stored somewhere else, whether it was my insomnia or it becomes back pain or it becomes something, anxiety, or it becomes the way you look at, you know, inviting a new animal into your life or loving somebody. You know, it always stays in you if you don't deal with it.
Yeah.
So to me, you know, in terms of like forgetting or having pictures that you're going, it's too hard to look at those pictures right now because it's so raw.
Mm-hmm.
What I hope the book does, and you know, I'm hearing from people that it is doing this, is that it kind of walks you through a photo, walks you through, you know, remembering things that feels so raw. But once you get through that part, you can realize that there is so much meaning. There is so much meaning to be found in grief, and it actually, it sounds impossible when you're in pain, but it actually can become this beautiful thing. And it actually feels good to, you know, I always say that the book is hopefully going to serve as some sort of tribute to your animal. And I think doing that for me felt so good because I felt like Griffin didn't deserve to be just forgotten. He didn't deserve that. He was so unconditional and brought so much joy that he didn't deserve to just be like, oh, well, now I'm moving on, new pet, new everything, which is great and fine, but do that and honor them, because then you have this thing of, you know, I wrote a whole book for this cat, which kind of makes me sound a little cuckoo, but it felt great because I knew him and I knew, you know, I knew what he deserved. And anyways, I'm hoping that the readers are going to feel the same ways. And so far, that's been what I've heard, which makes me just feel so good.
That's great. Well, it seems like my takeaway is that it was very therapeutic for you to write this, and it's going to be very helpful for others to read and use it. So on behalf of all the pet owners and grieving pet owners out there, we say thank you for writing such a book that will help people deal with pet loss. Before I let you go, what's happening? What are you working on now?
Well, right now I'm actually sitting in my hotel room in Atlanta. I'm away from my family, but I'm just I'm working on a sitcom here, and it's called Miss Pat. I do a reoccurring on it, so I'm back and forth a lot. But it is so funny. I don't really know what else to say. It's coming out in the summer, It's literally every time I read the scripts, I start cracking up laughing. So hopefully people will love it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Regan Pasternak, author of Griffin's Heart. Thank you very much for joining us on Pop Life.
Thank you so much for having me.
Griffin's Heart is more than a personal chronicle. It serves as a journal, a memento, and a space for healing. We thank Regan for coming on to share her deeply personal story with us. For more information on Griffin's Heart, visit the Pop Life program page at waer.org. Pop Life is a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Our producer is Kevin Kloss. Listen to Pop Life through the NPR One app or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. I'm Joe Lee.